Turn your Bible to Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah 46, and we'll look at two verses here, and then we'll get into the message. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. If I were to think of the three most important words, the three most important words in any language is right here in verse number 9. I am God. You get that wrong and you'll get truth wrong.
Right.
And if you get truth wrong, what else are we going to get wrong? And when man exchanges the truth of God for a lie and throws out the word of God, what is he going to get? He's going to say, I am God, but he's not talking about God Almighty. He's going to make himself God. When man makes himself God, he will live and frolic the rest of his life in his own errors.
Right.
This morning we want to look into this here in Isaiah 46 verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. There is none else. I am God. There is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. May God add his blessings to the word. Let's pray. Father, we come before thee this morning, and we recognize you are the one and only true God. Lord, we're living in a day where people have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. I pray, Lord, you would protect our hearts that we might give way to your truth, not our feelings. Lord, I see the political winds, I see the worldly winds blowing every which direction. Nobody seems to know what the truth is. I pray this morning we would know the truth because thou art the truth. Bless this time as we look into thy word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Several years ago, a very famous golfer, I won't specify his name, but I don't think we'll have to think very far to find out who we're talking about. But he got on national TV on my favorite Clinton News Network, see? I promise not to get into that. But he got on that network and he did what I call a cornucopia. He confessed it all. And it was several minutes just giving this confession. But one part of that confession that I remember hearing, part of it, and I went and downloaded the script. And he said this, I recognize I have brought this on myself. I know above all that I am the one who needs to change. I owe it to my family to become a better person. That is where my focus will be. I have a lot of work to do, and I intend to dedicate myself to this. Why did he think about his family before he went down that road? What happened somewhere along the way, he lifted himself up above the truth of God.
Right.
And exchange the truth of God for a lie. And this is what he said also in that same thing, where he changed the truth for God for a lie. He said, I knew my actions were wrong. Don't tell me you didn't know was wrong. You just justified it when you did it. But we know because God created in man a moral conscience. Can I say this? God created in our DNA the Ten Commandments. I don't care where you go, soldiers say, you know, you've gone all around the world, and they all believe this, we all believe this one thing, it's wrong to kill.
Right.
It's wrong to commit murder. It's wrong to commit adultery. There's five commandments toward each other, and there's five commandments for God. That's written in our DNA. Yet this man, he got on national television. I'm glad he was able to confess it. Hopefully he's got his life straightened out. But he went on and said, I never thought about who I was hurting. Instead, I only thought about myself. Well, we could say that to many of ourselves. We can say that truth. I only thought about myself. I ran straight through the boundaries that a married couple should live by. One wife, one man for the rest of your life. But he ran right through those boundaries like those roadblocks are not even there. Whew. You ever done that? I was pulling a fifth-wheel trailer going about 55 miles an hour, and I was following the directions. That GPS, don't rely on it. It took me to a place where the bridge was out. And I'm glad my wife said, stop. It was dark, it's raining, and somehow the GPS noticed there used to be a road there, but it doesn't say that road was out. So you're driving along, and before you know it, you're not going through the Baltimore Tunnel. You're going to go right into the river. It's a dead end. Friends, if you're going to do wrong, you got to run right through the boundaries of that moral conscience that God gave you. I thought, get this, I thought I could get away with it. You can talk yourself into anything you want to talk yourself into. But you got to run through those boundaries of God's moral law. I felt I had worked hard my entire life, and I deserved to enjoy the temptations around me. I felt I was entitled to it. Thanks to money and fame, I didn't have to go very far. We're living in a day where man has exchanged the truth of God for a lie and gone down the road as this man has, and he's not the only one. Many of men and women now have gone through that boundaries. When I look at the Pew Research Foundation coming up with statistics that 70% of our young people, 70% of the babies born in the U.S. do not have a dad listed on the birth certificate. The breakdown of the American family. What's happening? When I think of this man and I think of what's going on in our country, I got to come back and say the man who has loved many women has loved none. But the man who has loved only one woman has loved them all. Respect. Love's beauty lies in its longevity. It is kind. It's patient. This man convinced himself that he could get away with it. He forgot those three most important words, I am God. And God's moral conscience, he ran right past that boundary and he paid a price that I wish on nobody to have to pay. He said, I thought I would never get caught. I thought it would be okay and that I was big enough to survive something. I thought it was where my happiness lie. Did you hear that? My happiness lie. He is more thinking about himself than thinking about God. Friends, your greatest happiness comes when you're within the boundaries of God's moral conscience. The true meaning of life cannot be found in selfishness and self-centeredness. If you haven't really loved your family to God, you will have meaninglessness in life. I said something about we had a funeral within our family. So my wife's uncle passed away last Saturday. He had a funeral this week. And a lot more flying. And so, but someone said, I'm glad for him. Lived to be 90 years old and say there's three generations I can look back of preachers that come out of my family. Three generations a missionary serving in Africa because of my family. If you haven't really loved your family to God, you will have meaninglessness in life. I said my wife's uncle had meaningfulness. He had a sense of purpose to love his family to God. life without a relationship with God is meaningless. What is it? What is life without God? Well, I've been doing a pretty good job. I don't have to believe like you believe. No, you don't have to believe what I believe, but you know, at least you can say I believe the Ten Commandments and want to respect that. But when we're looking at today, thou shalt commit adultery, then we say 70% of people on their birth certificates. This is 2016 December issue of Pew Research Foundation papers. 70%. We're seeing the breakdown of the family. And then the solution of this to solve the problem is to euthanize babies. Nothing is so wicked as to torture babies to death. State after state are enjoining into this idea that we got too many people. Oh, we got too many people who don't want God anymore. And any culture that throws out its moral compass is doomed to destruction. Rome all over. Without moral law, man would already have self-destructed. We would have already destroyed ourselves without the moral law that we have. The moral law that's inside us. The DNA that God put us. God created us with an intelligent design, and God put in that intelligent design, He gave us the awareness of an intelligent designer. When someone says, well, I don't believe in God. Well, you know, to be able to make a statement, anytime you make a statement, you've got to have a focus to go back to and say, this is why I can say this is true. But people can just spout, I don't believe in God. They have no focus and are really saying this, I wish I could believe, but I don't understand. I don't know. Or some people just don't want to have any moral compass. And that's dangerous. And we're fast approaching that even in our own country. The moral compass, anything. You know, we talked about, Pastor, you said something about pornography. Tell you, I've done 17 tours working with the Army overseas, and I did a lot of counseling. And we lost our moral compass in many ways because I see what in counseling, pornography is the number one thing out there. And the other one, because of pornography, you always have spousal abuse. Anger and pornography go together. And I don't hope it bothers you. I hope it bothers you real, real bad like it does me. It's just getting a hold of me. When I stop in Walmart, stood in Walmart the other day, and here's a mother over there fussing with the kid, and then she just grabs the kid, puts him in the seat in the carriage, and gives him a cell phone where he has 24-hour pornography right there at his fingertips. What are we coming to? We forgot there is a moral law. We're forgetting what the truth is. Winston Churchill said, truth is the most valuable thing in this world. So valuable that it's often protected by a bodyguard of lies. In other words, because you tell the truth, someone else is going to lie about you because they don't want the truth to come out. Are we seeing anything like that now? Yeah. You know, I don't know who to believe. I'm not saying any Fox or CNN are any better than each other because both of them have to sell advertisers to keep their jobs. I do know the program manager of the Fox Morning News, and I know he is a very strong, dedicated Christian, and his dad's a pastor and has been a missionary. And he said, I'm trying what I can, but I can't go as far as I'd like to go. I'm glad there are some who want to have the most powerful weapon in the world. They want to have some who want to have the most powerful weapon, which is truth. Truth is more powerful than the weapons of mass destruction. Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said to Pilate, that they that are of the truth, listen to me. Jesus Christ was a truth incarnate. But we want to reject the truth. And for decades, Our kids have gone through our state schools and they were taught that morality is relative. The conundrum I look out there is we send our kids to these state universities and they tell them there is no God. Well, first of all, that is a lie in itself, because to say there is no God that says you don't exist, because if there is no God, you made yourself God. That's an impossibility. But we go to some of the state universities and we tell them there is no God and truth is relative. Then when they graduate, they go out to Wall Street and they commit all these crimes. They almost bankrupt our country in 2008. And then we put them in jail for them exercising what they're taught in the state universities. The truth is relative. Relatives nearly destroyed our country. And if you know what I mean by relative, I'm not talking about your cousin Harry or someone like that. Relative truth has nearly destroyed our country. Our pension plans were blown apart. And we want to put them in jail for exercising what we taught them in our state universities. Where are we going with this? If we keep lying to ourselves, our rejection of the truth, I am God, will bring us to self-destruction. Today we have replaced theology with religion. There's a big difference. Religion starts with man, but theology starts with God. And He alone is our point of reference for all human living beings. He is the point of reference of all morality. I am God. Or go back in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. You forget those things and you lost your point of reference of all morality. And when you lose your point of reference of all morality, man will self-destruct off the face of this earth. Why would someone want to reject God anyways? Because it's already there. It's there. It's in your moral DNA. Truth is now replaced by pragmatism and a feel-good Christianity. People want to go to church where they can feel good, regardless of whether they're being told the truth. Why did you go there? I like the feeling I get. Well, just wait until the preacher steps on your toes to see if you still like the feeling. Or, as I am saying this morning, just wait till someone tells you the real truth. And say he's meddling in politics. No, we're just meddling with the human nature here. Morality has become the most fluid term in our culture. What is morality? And in order to answer what is morality, you must have a point of reference to go back to measure what morality is. But now they want to take God out away from everything, so you have no measuring stick and you become your own self-centered measure of morality. And then you can pass through any boundary you want because you don't have a focus point in which to measure what is right and wrong. You can do whatever you want to do. What's right in your own eyes, you can do it because you don't have those three most important words, I am God. Truth is now replaced by this pragmatism, and we're looking at what's going on and we see this. And what is our source of truth in the United States? How did we get here? Historically, I think that there's some basic philosophies that have shaped our thinking that brought us to the point where we are in this country. Historically, I look at Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. The Romans always argued from a position of law, and law, their law was their moral compass. Wasn't right, especially when they fed the lions, they fed Christians to the lions. You know, if they can feed Christians to lions and we can take babies out of the womb and torture them until they're dead, what's to say that we cannot go that route again? Because we are the Christians are the salt of the earth. And you see what some of these political pundits are I can't believe they really believe what they're saying. Thank you. Someone else say amen. I can't believe what they're saying. The Romans argued from the position of law. The Greeks argued from a position of philosophy. The Christian must argue from the principle of truth. A divine moral law, and that moral law is in our DNA. Moral relativism does not exist. There is an absolute truth with God. There is no such thing as moral relativism if God exists. And you say, well, I don't believe in God. That doesn't change the fact that God created you with that moral conscience. How do you have a moral universe from slime that came from nothing? When you say, I don't believe in God, then explain the intelligent design even in a simple atom. Protons, electrons, neutrons, and they don't crash into each other and create a nuclear fusion that melts everything down. Explain that. It's all in a design, a perfect design that all points back there is a moral designer out there. And when man rejects these words in Isaiah, we're going to find out, we're going to sow seeds of our own self-destruction. The Christian must argue from a position of divine moral law. That's where our truth is coming from. And it should come from as a Christian. But around us in our nation, we're arguing truth is based on what we saw on television. Pardon me, but I don't want to base my truth on Archie Bunker mentality. I even, as a kid, as a teenager, growing up, my parents wouldn't even let us watch that TV show. It has indoctrinated a whole generation of people. A whole generation that's trying to redefine what is morality. I think it was President Clinton, while he was president, who tried to redefine what is reality, when he says, is. Did you get that? Is. Well, if he doesn't know what is, what is he doing as president? Whew. Truth must conform to reality. And someone said, well, I don't believe you exist. I don't believe you exist. And you look back at him and said, who should I say is saying I don't exist? Yeah. You ever talk to one of those crazy people? I'm down at the University of South Carolina. We're giving out tracts on the street, on the campus. And the guy said, get out of my way. I said, let me give you this tract over here. He said, no, I don't want that tract. He said, then he says to the other guy, it's all part of your imagination. And then he looks back and he says, you're not real. You're just a figure of my imagination. I thought, if I'm not real, let me get my little pocket knife and stick you with the point of that, see if you get the point of the message. You know, this is what they believe out there. And it becomes ridiculous when you reject God Almighty. Our source of truth has come from the philosophers. It's come from TV. Friends, I'm not saying don't ever watch television, but friends, when you open your television set, you're opening yourself to a philosophy of life that's predominantly contrary to the truth of the Word of God. Right. And then when you give your kids a cell phone and a Walmart and you tell them, watch this show to calm the kid down, no. Hey, my dad would have said, we're going to have a meeting at the Board of Education when I get outside. Or as we said to our kids, we're going to have a meeting with Mr. Woody in the restroom. Who's Mr. Woody? I'll let you figure that out. But that's why my kids are missionaries today. That's why my son works for the law firm, got hired in a junior year in a college. Why? Because Mr. Woody became a really good one. Someone sent me the other day, he said, talking about ADHD. He said, your definition of ADHD gets redefined when Dad takes off his belt. All of a sudden, you got attention now. The Christian must argue for moral truth based on the truth of the Word of God. Television has influenced us so that you open yourself to a philosophy. It indoctrinates you with a worldview that's totally contrary to the Word of God. Some of us remember as a kid, I used to watch Leave It to Beaver. I won't ask you to raise your hand because you're going to show your age, but you remember those? We threw out the cable, all that stuff, and we got this little plastic thing sits in our window, so now we get it comes with the old I Love Lucy and Leave It to Beaver, where Dad was right, and Dad was a dad. They didn't have Adam and Steve. We didn't have X-rated TV. We had one thing, a black and white TV. And we got one channel, three. And that's with a 50-foot pole sticking up on the roof. I'm glad we didn't expose that, but I fear for my grandkids today. Does it do to you what it does for me when I watch some mother in Walmart giving her kid a little box? And he gets rewarded for screaming and hollering. He gets rewarded for watching anything he wants to watch on there. And typically most of the stuff they watch is more violence. These computer games, you wonder why. You know, all the shooting going on, what do you think we're teaching our kids when we give them these games? The third area of which philosophy comes from, we said it comes from the Romans or the Greeks, it comes from television, and it comes from a home. That's where our philosophy comes from. Home, but often our homes are denying the existence of God. Families are fast becoming extinct. The idea of a man and wife for life. You ever go bus visiting? You go knock on the door and you bring your kids with you. And so I always like to go bring my kids and we go bus visiting. And a little boy comes to the door and we try to talk to the parents and they came. And the little boy says to my little boy over here and my daughter, "Is that your real dad? You got a real dad?" Well, that says something about our country, doesn't it? The home is often denying the existence of God, and families are fast becoming extinct, and then talk radio show has influenced us. But let's face it, much of our talk radio show has nothing to do with the existence of God. It's whatever sells on talk radio, that's what we're going to talk about. And there's some out there, if I said some names, some of you are going to get upset. But I just said, I'm not going to listen to some guy who's been married, six times or whatever else, and girlfriend number 99, to tell me how to morally straighten out our country. We got to read the Word of God, not some talk radio show hostess. Most talk show hosts deny the existence of God. Thank God we got a president that stands for God. If you want, I don't know if I can get you tickets, but Tuesday night, Anderson, go and have a time of prayer with our Vice President of the United States at Anderson, inviting all military. Go enjoy that, because you'll probably never get another chance in your lifetime to see something like this anywhere, where you get people in high places who are calling out to God. Friends, today I see the truth being dissipated and destroyed. How did we get here, by the way? How do we get into this mess? And how are we going to get out? I don't see any way out besides a revival in our churches. And I'll speak about that. The hindrance to the revival, the greatest hindrance to revival in our churches, apathy within the pew. 1950... In the 1950s, kids lost their innocence. In other words, in 1950, we had a generation that came up that didn't go through the war And there was an abundance of materialism after the war. All that money that was being spent on war was spent on rebuilding. And so in the 1950s, kids lost their innocence. They were liberated from the war of the 40s. And with an abundance of materialism, cars and homes and rock and roll music, hence the generation gap began in the 1950s. In the 1960s, I see a generation where kids lost their authority. It was a decade of protests. Some of you remember that. Some of you were part of that. Protesting on anything. I'm not proud of it. I protested. I don't know why I was protesting. I just know I didn't want to go to school that day. Until I met the Board of Education at our house. But protests. There were protests against church. There were protests against the states. And protests against parents. Parents' authority was questioned in the 1960s. In the 1970s, kids lost their love. It was a decade of sensual music in the 70s. That we couldn't even begin to repeat any of it today here in this auditorium. 70s were predicated with music was predicated with words of selfishness, self-centeredness, self-desire, self-esteem, self-image, self-assertion. You know, it all makes for a very lonely world when it's all wrapped up in self and not in God. Kids learned everything they wanted to know about sex, but they had a whole generation that knew nothing about love in the home. And that begins the breakdown of the family. And what we're seeing is a second generation of that crowd that were against any kind of authority. In the 1980s, kids lost their hope. We elected Ronald Reagan. We're going to have a war. And we're stripped of our innocence, stripped of any kind of authority and love, and we're plagued by fear of nuclear nightmare. And a large number of those who grew up in the 1980s have stopped believing there is a real future. One teenager said to me, quit being so negative. He said, I've got to have a hope that there is something out there. And I said, there is hope as long as you've got God. 1990s and the 2000s, kids lost their ability to reason. We have these little personalized objects we clip in our belt or put in our purse. And we're captured by that. Did you ever have this? I'm sitting, driving the car, and my wife's sitting up front, and my daughter was a little bit younger now than she is now, and she's sitting in the front seat, and she's texting. I didn't know what texting was. I finally figured it out. But she's texting us, and back then it cost you something to text, like 10 or 15 cents every time you sent a text. Maybe we ought to go back to that. They're texting each other. I said, who are you texting? And in the back seat is my niece, Abby. They're talking to each other from the front seat to the back seat and paying 15 cents a tax. Look, can you just put down that box so we can talk to each other? Yeah. I hear every few seconds, and what's going on there? Oh, that's my sister texting me over here. Why don't you just talk to her? We're captured, our minds are being captured by these cyberspace toys and are being subjective to reality. Because you can watch anything and your imagination can think of it's out there and it's on that little box you got. Kids cut off their parents in the 2000s. You don't have the authority. They know more than you know because they've got this box and they think that's got all the authority and it's absolute truth in that box. And they don't know what truth is. There are kids who are born of these are kids who are born of the lust of the flesh of the 1970s, now here in the 2000s. You see, well, now we're seeing the second generation of those who were protesting in the 60s and 70s. Now the second generation from that is out there today, and we wonder where we're going. Kids believe that they were ultimately the only one who really matters in life. Friends, you're not the only one that really matters. The family matters. God matters. And your rejection of truth will bring your own self-destruction. Friends, today what we need is we need a revival. We need to return to God. Yeah, and we all agree that, but let's just do it. Outside of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I see no hope for humanity. Because man is rejected. I am God. Or you can take it down to two words. I am. That's ever eternal. When man forgets that, it's not far before he comes into his own ultimate self-destruction. When man forgets those three most important words, he ceases to know the meaning of life and his purpose in life. Meaninglessness doesn't come just from the weariness of pain. Meaninglessness comes from the vanity of pleasures. And we're building a life around pleasures about ourselves rather than building a life that's about to glorify God, because God created man for one purpose, to bring glory to him. The chief end of man is what? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. But man is rejecting God. And we're flying through boundaries, just as this famous golfer said. Flying through boundaries of the moral code that God gave us. All because we want to make ourselves happy. And eventually you'll find your own self-destruction. I can't think of anything more painful. Not some sore toe or not some cancer. More painful emotionally is to watch your kids go down a crooked road and really mess up. And then you want to blame yourself or blame someone else. Well, why wait till you go down that road? Why wait till your kids go down that road? Why don't you just start right here? If the church door is open, I'm coming. That's a good place to start, isn't it? Oh, I want to watch the football game on Sunday afternoon. I work hard. Listen, is there anything more important than strengthening the moral fiber of your children, your grandchildren? Anything more important than strengthening the moral fiber of our own country by worshiping God and standing up for godly principles today? Meaninglessness doesn't come from the weariness of pain. Meaninglessness comes from the weariness and vanity of pleasures. Before you ask what's wrong with pleasures, why don't you ask yourself, is there anything wrong with anything? And if there is anything wrong with anything, you're going to say, yeah, there is. Then what's your focus? What's your focus point? You're going to go back to say there's something wrong with some things. You got to come back to say there is God. Why don't we go out of here today and say, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to live for God all the days of my life. And I'm going to do the best to teach my children, my grandchildren that direction. Let's pray. Father, my heart is stirred this morning. I pray, Lord, that people would see a heart that's love for you, love for meaningfulness things, a love that's going to make a difference in the next generation. Oh God, I pray that you would help us, that we might be faithful to you and we'd never forget those words, I am God. Lord, forgive us where we talked ourselves into making ourselves God. Forgive us, Lord, where we judged ourselves and made up our own moral conscience by de-existing you. Lord, as we think about this one golfer, I pray, Lord, you would help him to get his life back. Lord, I pray that he would see you and, Lord, he would see that there is meaning to life. Not just making money or hitting a golf ball and chasing it, but Lord, help them to see that there is life today and there's life after this life, eternal life. Lord, help us to live not for the moment, but Lord, to live for the eternity. Forgive us, Lord, where we have sinned. Turn our hearts toward you this day. We ask your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.